Gimel Nissen, Thursday the 30th of March, Rabbi Moshe Levi, Real Freedom. In half an hour.
Morning.
Morning.
Just before we get to the shiur, we were mentioning why it's called Shabbat HaGadol. I once heard an interesting interpretation. Obviously, we need to always tell the truth. But the Gemara discusses on Shabbat how it's even more important and you have to be extra careful to always be honest and truthful on Shabbat. What does that have to do with Shabbat HaGadol? Comes Shabbos HaGadol, if you like.
Yeah?
What happens? The Jewish people are taking the sheep. They're taking the lamb. The Egyptians, the Mitzrayim come and say, "What are you doing?" What would be the thing to say? Say something else. Yeah, well, this is our way. This is our way. We're going to go worship. I'm bringing it to my house. Wait. You have to say, you got to be ridiculous and stupid almost to say, "I'm going to take your God and bring it as a sacrifice." But because it was Shabbat, and you have to be extra careful to tell the truth, therefore they were forced, if you will, to tell the truth. And the next, this unbelievable Gadol, this huge miracle that happened, that even though they told the truth, this is a guy who's been beating them up for who knows how long. You say, "I'm going to take your God," and the guy doesn't punch you in the face, doesn't take out the whip and kill you. That's Gadol. That's a massive miracle. So I heard that's why, because no other Yom Tov is tied to a day of the week. Every single Yom Tov has Tetzvav, Yud Dalet. It has, right, Rosh Chodesh, New Year, Rosh Hashanah, Yud B'Tishri. Suddenly you have a Yom Tov, or we're commemorating something that has to do with a Shabbat. It should be Yud B'Nisan. It's the day that the Jewish people took the lamb, and we commemorate they took the lamb. No, because it wasn't about the day. It wasn't if it wasn't Yud Nisan, they would have came up with a nice excuse. But because it was Shabbat, they had to tell the truth, and therefore it's tied into Shabbat and Shabbat HaGadol. Interesting interpretation. I'm sorry. As we get ready for Pesach, we have to understand to some extent what it's all about. So, I've asked hundreds of students over the past week or so, when I say Pesach, what's the first thing you think of? Matzah. The women said cleaning, but yes, matzah. Right? Matzah and maror. You ask any little kid, why is it that we have to eat matzah and Pesach? And they'll tell you. They quote the Haggadah, "Matzah azu al shuma." Why are we eating matzah? Al shum shelo yispik betzekam. There was no time for the dough to rise. Now there's a few obvious questions when we hear this. Bal Haggadah, we don't know who wrote the Haggadah. It's known as the Bal Haggadah. He tells us that this is the reason that we eat matzah. And this is the reason that Hashem calls the Yom Tov Chagam Matzot. Hashem looks and says, "Wow, look, they were rushing out." And the question is, what was the rush? The Jewish people were in a big rush. How long does it take? They had the dough, right? They had the dough. How long does it take for dough to rise? Anybody ever made challah? An hour? Max. Hour and a half, 2 hours? I don't know for sure, but I'm assuming that they were making laffa. You went to Sammy's, they have the dough ready, they take the laffa, put it on the thing. How long does it take? 2 minutes. The Jewish people are kicked out of Mitzrayim by Paro. Midnight. A little bit after midnight, your little kids will tell you, Paro in pajamas in the middle of the night. They're running around, Paro is looking to find Moshe Rabbeinu, and he kicks them out. Go! When do the Jewish people actually leave Mitzrayim?
Next morning.
Yeah, next morning, midday. Why? Rashi tells us, we don't want to seem like thieves sneaking out at night. So they had a good 8, 10, 12 hours. Surely they had time to make some laffa. Furthermore, again, these are fundamental questions. I'm sure you've heard them before. Furthermore, we have in our 15 steps in the Seder, one of them is Korech. And what do we say when we eat the Korech? Zecher l'migdash, tihilel ha-zaken, and he quotes the Pasuk, al matzah umrorim, yocheluhu. You eat it with matzah and maror. What were they eating with matzah and maror?
Pesach.
The Korban Pesach. So in Egypt, before the last plate, they're eating matzah and maror. So they have the matzah. They were commanded to eat matzah in Egypt. So it doesn't seem like the matzah has to do with the fact that they were rushing out. Furthermore, why do we eat maror? To remember the bitterness. They were in Egypt. They're still in Mitzrayim, and they're being told, remember the bitterness. It's like walking into the concentration camps, and right before they're liberated, saying, do you remember how much you've suffered? Of course. What type of question is that? So why is it that they're eating matzah and maror in Egypt, in Mitzrayim? And why is it that there's such a rush? So, let's give a couple of answers. One answer regarding the maror. Why do they have to have the bitterness while they're still in Mitzrayim? I one time, the morning after the Seder, had someone come to me, and he said, Rabbi, we were going through the Haggadah last night. I said, that's good. Part of the mitzvah, see, for Yitzhak Mitzrayim. He said, and my brother had, I think, quite a simple question. He says, you know the part, you pour out the blood, or some people use their pinky, dam, sradeh, kirim, I said, yeah. He says, afterwards, Rabbi Yehuda, Yanotem ben Simanim, Rabbi Yehuda used to give signs. I said, sure. He said, with all due respect to this rabbi, I'm like, yeah, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasih, pretty chashuv. Yeah, big deal. What did he do? He took the first letter of each makkah, and he made an address. why does that even make it into the Haggadah? Second of all, what was the big deal? What was he doing? Good question. What? So we know that in the Haggadah we have the number four over and over and over. Where do we have the number four? Four sons. Four cups. Four questions. It's ironic. I was walking with my son to shul last week, talking about the Haggadah, and we were discussing this, and he said the four questions. I said, there aren't actually four questions. He said, yeah, there are. I said, no. Let's go through it. Why is this night different than all the nights? That's the question. The one and only question. And now you have four examples about how this night's different. But ultimately, there aren't really four questions, but okay. Four questions, or four examples, four cups, four sons. Why, as we all know, because there's four lishonot of Geulah, there's four terminologies. The question is, why are there four terminologies? What do we need four terminologies for? So the Mefarshim answer, you have to understand, there was different stages. The Jewish people are in Egypt in this concentration camp-like work. Hashem says, Ve'etzeti. I'm going to take you out of this. Probably woke up at 5 a.m. and had to work till 10 p.m. Hashem says, I'm going to take you out of that type of work. Ve'etzeti. And that's some answer. That's the tzach. After the first three plagues, Dam Tzvadei Kinim, once they saw that they weren't able to accomplish the third plague of the Kinim, what happens? They realize they're dealing with a very powerful God over here, and they make them work, but not concentration camp-like work. They make them work, but not crazy intense work. That's Vehetzeti. Then you have the next three plagues. Adash. And after that, what happens? You have Vehitzalti. God says, no more work. No more work. Are they free to go? No. They're still slaves in Egypt, but are they working? They're not working. Then you have Be'achav, after the last four plagues, we have Vigaalti. Now they're actually free, they've left Mitzrayim. And then you have Vilakachti. And that's why, by the way, if somebody wants, if four cups aren't enough, and they want to drink some more wine between the first, second, third, not a problem. But once you have the third cup, you're not allowed to drink. Because Vehitzalti and Vigaalti, Vilakachti, when Hashem says, I take you from me as a nation, I only took you out of Egypt. You only left Egypt so that now I can give you the Torah. They're dependent, totally zubazu, as they would say. They're dependent one on the other, and therefore you can't drink in between. But there's four different stages. Concentration camp-like work, less work, no work, actually leave Mitzrayim, and then Hashem gives us the Torah. That's why there's four different terminologies. That's why I said to this man, and there's other answers as well, I was walking my kids, my daughters to shul, a few months ago we were discussing the Makot, and I said, they said, ask us questions on the Parsha, my favorite time of the week. I said, okay, when Hashem sends Moshe Rabbeinu to warn Paro, where was Paro by the first plague? They said he was by the ocean. I said, very good. So where was he by the second plague? He said he was in the palace. I said, where was he by the third plague? They said he didn't warn him. I said, oh, very good, you caught on to the trick question. He didn't warn him. After the third plague, there was no, and that was the sequence, the tzach. First he warns him by the Yor, then he warns him in the palace, then there's no warning. Adash, same thing. By the fourth plague, he goes back to the ocean. Fifth plague, back to the palace. Sixth plague, no warning. So that's also a reason why the Biudai, Yonatan Ben Simanim, to remember where and how Moshe Rabbeinu warned them, or didn't. But we're going to go with the answer that there's different stages. That's the Tzach Adash Be'achav. The same way there's four different Neshonot of Geula. And that helps us understand why in Mitzrayim they had to have Maror. Why are they eating Maror right before the last plague of Makat Bechorot? They're still in Egypt. The answer is, yeah, they're still in Egypt. But it doesn't matter. They haven't been working for the past few months. I heard one Rav give an example. He says, somebody walks into the dentist. And he's in excruciating pain. And the dentist does what he does in 15 minutes. And he says, how much do I owe you? And the dentist says, pay me half as much as you're willing to pay when you walked in. When he walked in, he would have given me £1,000, he would have just taken care of it. A half hour later, you already forget the pain. The Bnei Yisrael, they're in Egypt. And they're suffering. But you know what? For the past 3 months, they haven't had to work. So even in Mitzrayim, eat the Maror. To remember what you suffered just a few months ago. But yes, even they forgot, if you will. But I'd like to discuss and focus on another answer. What exactly is matzah? You'll tell me matzah is bread of freedom. It's both. We might have discussed that in the past. I don't remember what we have or haven't discussed in the past. I know last year I came before Pesach. We discussed chinuch and the four sons. I don't remember if we discussed anything else besides that. But it's bread of freedom. It's also bread of poor man's bread. It's both. But the matzah that we eat, most people will tell you, bread of freedom. So if I was to ask you, what is freedom? How do you define freedom? Yeah. How do most people define freedom? Free. What does that mean to be free? I have many students, they tell me, I ask them, what is freedom? They said, you can do whatever you want, whenever you want. That is the ultimate freedom. No worries. I said, all right, let me just understand. You win the lottery. You have 50 million pounds. You're sitting there. You buy yourself a nice beach house. Beachfront house. You get the butler. He's bringing you pina coladas in the coconut with a little umbrella. And you're sitting there. Enjoyable freedom. Unbelievable. A month. 2 months. 3 months. What happens after 3 months? You start getting bored. But you have freedom! People think freedom means no obligations, no worries. Everything's perfect. The kids are great. Shalom Bayis is great. Don't have to worry about Parnassah. Everything is great. No worries. And that's amazing. Don't get me wrong. But that's not freedom. If you want to have real relationships, you need to put in time and effort. It's work. If you want to have real success, you need to put in effort. Real happiness only comes when you put in the time and effort. If it's easy, easy come, easy go. What is real freedom? We have a certain mentality. I saw in one of the Haggadot such a simple question that I never thought or heard of before. So posh. We always talk about Yitziyat Mitzrayim, Yitziyat Mitzrayim, Yitziyat Mitzrayim. We've heard this term, I don't know, a million times in our lives, Yitziyat Mitzrayim. How do you actually say, we all speak Hebrew, how do you say going out from Egypt? Yitziyat Mitzrayim. What does Yitziyat Mitzrayim actually mean? You take someone, they don't know anything. You tell them, Yitziyat Mitzrayim. It sounds like the Egyptians went out of Egypt. Yitziyat, they're going out, Mitzrayim, from Egypt. Right? What? I should say Yitziyat Mitzrayim. What's this Yitziyat Mitzrayim we always talk about? So before I should explain, we were just like the Egyptians. Our mentality, our whole ethos, our whole psychological being in essence, we're in Egypt for hundreds of years. Let's be honest, our mentality is very British. I'm from America, isn't it? America. You go to Israel, it's quite different. I know someone, I said to her, she was saying how much she loved Israel. I said, so why don't you move there? She said, oh, I would never be able to get on a bus. I'd always be at the back of the queue for hours and hours. I'm not pushy, I'm too English. There's different mentalities. The mentality I have, the way we look at life, is very British. And what happens? We have a certain mentality that Hashem says before there's going to be a Mashiach, there needs to be a Yitziat Anglia. There needs to be a Yitziat Mitzrayim. We, the Mitzrayim, needs to go out of us. The Mitzrayim needs to go out of us. What we consider entertainment, what we consider freedom, is what we've been grown up and seen in advertisements and always told that there has to be a Yitziat Mitzrayim before we're able to have a redemption. It has to go out of us. This mentality of freedom, that freedom is not worry. Hashem says, and again, I didn't see anyone say this, but I was thinking, while you're eating the matzah, in Egypt, in Mitzrayim, before you leave, al matzah umrorim ochiluhu, you know why you eat the matzah with the maror? I have some Ashkenazi friends, and they tell me, oh, I've seen those Sephardi lafas, give me a break. I said, when they were leaving Mitzrayim, yeah, they didn't have time for the dough to rise. Doesn't mean that they had the cardboard that we have. Yeah, it just didn't go from this to this. They had lafa, that's what it was. And they had maror, that's the salat. And they had the korban pesach, that's the shawarma, the good one. Right? Hummus, salat, chips, that was the korban pesach. Al matzah, umrorim, yochilu. They were eating a matzah maror. It was the shawarma and the lafa, but like the egel one. Eh? Hashem says, while you're in Mitzrayim, eat the bread of freedom, but understand that comes with maror. That comes with hard work, it comes with bitterness. There's different stages, of different types of bitterness. There's hard work bitterness, and then there's, I can't, bitterness. So Zilberstein brings that in his Haggadah, quotes the Dubner Magid. Dubner Magid gives a mashal, he says there was a businessman, he was flying first class, and the flight was delayed, he was in a big rush, he didn't have time to get his suitcase, so he said to them, I have a car waiting for me, I need someone, I'm going to send my driver, I don't want anyone delivering it, I'm going to send my driver, please just put my suitcase on the side. No problem, sir, 100%. A couple of hours later, his driver comes in and he's sweating. And he says, go back, you got the wrong suitcase. I'm like, sir, you haven't even seen it. He says, my suitcase is full of diamonds and checks. If you're sweating, you got the wrong suitcase. Says the Dubna Magid, if we're sitting there when it comes to being a good Jew, and we're sweating, and we're saying it's so hard, you got the wrong Judaism. You got the wrong suitcase. It's going to be hard work. But if somebody starts a business, and the first year they make 100 grand, and the next year 250, the next year 500, of course they're working hard. But are they sitting there schmitzing, saying I can't? Saying it's so tough, saying why do I need all this? Of course not. They understand that with hard work comes growth. So of course you need to have maror, but it can't be the maror that it's so bitter I can't. I had a woman, she said to me one time, Rabbi, is it true that when Mashiach comes, a lot of the chagim are going to be abolished? I said, of course. It's a Gemara. The miracles that happen throughout, the Chanukah, wow, man, it's nothing compared to what's going to happen when Mashiach comes. She's like, Rabbi, please tell me, no Pesach. I said to her, if you want to toothbrush the ceiling, don't bring Pesach. A lot of the stuff we do, my wife's clean. I'm like, that's spring cleaning, don't call it Pesach cleaning. I got to get rid of this and organize that. You look for Chametz, there's nothing there, you put it back. Yeah? But if our Pesach, if our Judaism is so strenuous and so tough, then we have the wrong suitcase. Hashem says you need to have the matzah, the bread of freedom, but understand that it comes with maror, it comes with hard work. But why are we eating matzah while we're still in Mitzrayim? What are we doing with the matzah? So I once heard a beautiful idea. Hashem says before you leave Mitzrayim, before you have freedom, ask yourselves, what are you going to do with that freedom? Project. You're slaves. You wish you had free time. And then what? Some people, they're working, working, working. I can't wait till I retire. They retire, and then what happens? They don't know what to do with themselves. Because they didn't make a plan. They just, I wish I had millions. The guy does amazing in business, has the millions, and now what? Hashem says you need to project where you're going to go before you get there. I heard an example. There was a guy, golfer, and he won, I believe it was the Masters, whatever it is, the top golf thing. And he gets the green jacket, and he's being interviewed by the top broadcaster. And then they found the tape of these two people together 30 years before. And the guy's wearing the tie, the broadcaster, and the other guy's wearing the jacket, and he says, how's it feel to have won the Masters? So they asked the player, and they asked the broadcaster, what were you doing 30 years ago interviewing about something that didn't even happen. How'd you know? And they said, we had no idea, but our professor in university told us, if you want to aspire to be something, you need to dress the part, you need to act that way, you need to think that way. I wanted to be a broadcaster, so I always walked around in a suit and a tie. And this other guy said, once I said to myself, I'm going to win the Masters, I need to practice this much, act this much, not go here, be like this, do that. Because they projected where they're going. What they're going to do with their free time. They made a plan. Hashem says, you're in Mitzrayim. You're eating the bread of freedom. You're about to be free. What are you going to do with your freedom? What are you going to do with your free time? We talk about Mashiach. We wait for Mashiach. Bin Nisan Nigalnu, bin Nisan Atidim Nigal. Nisan is the month of redemption. Mashiach is going to come, and then what? What do we think we're going to be doing? Have we planned? Do we have a plan? I'm speaking to myself here. And then what? We wait for Mashiach. Bezad Hashem, this year, this is the month. Today Mashiach comes. This way we'll be ready. Remember a few years ago it was Birkat HaChama. Right? And it came out Erev Pesach. And they were saying, only came out twice in the history of Erev Pesach. When we left Mitzrayim and Purim. And this is going to be the year Mashiach comes. And I got very excited. I said, that's it, I'm getting ready. I went to the mikvah. Even though I usually only go Erev Yom Kippur, Erev Rosh Hashanah, sometimes before Shavuot. I said, Mashiach's coming, I got to be ready. I went to the mikvah and I was in America at the time. And we're doing Birkat HaChama at 7 o'clock and I'm doing the math. In Israel, it's 2 o'clock. So I can still get there in time to bring the Korban Pesach. I was doing the math. And then I'm like, alright, you know what, didn't Seder night. Seder night, it's the night, it's the year, it's the time. And it didn't come and I was like, oh, maybe it's Shvi'i Shel Pesach, that's the real redemption. Because we weren't actually free until we saw the Mitzrayim et Asfat Hayam. Hashem says, before you go, plan what you're going to do. What's it going to be like when you have all that free time? Did we ever think to ourselves, what are we going to do when Mashiach comes? What's it going to be like? And once you have that picture, you can prepare for it. You can say, if I want to be able to go to the Bi Akiva Shir, to Moshe Rabbeinu Shir, to Avraham Avinu Shir, and Sefer Yetzirah, I need to prepare myself in this way. I need to do ABC before Mashiach comes. Eat the matzah, eat the bread of freedom, and ask yourself, project, what are you going to do with that freedom? It comes with hard work. It's not easy. But you got to work, you got to prepare, you got to build yourself up. Yitziat Mitzrayim, before we can have Mashiach, before there can be a final redemption, there needs to be Yitziat Mitzrayim. Our mentality has to go out, has to change. What our priorities are, and what we do with our time, and what we consider freedom. Freedom is not no obligations. Freedom is not I can do whatever I want whenever I want. That's the Mitzrayim mentality of freedom. We have to understand that we need to work hard. We have to understand why Hashem chose us to be the chosen people. I gave a class and I asked them, what does it mean we're the chosen people? Are we better? Are we smarter? Are we more clever? One of my father's favorite stories. You might have mentioned in the past. So these two guys collecting money on the steps of the Vatican. One's got a long beard. Told you this?
Yeah. Oh.
I can't remember. Didn't hear it?
Right. I didn't hear it. Again.
Didn't hear it? We'll repeat it. I often have students, they're like, oh, Rabbi, we already learned this page of Gemara. I said, you have a favorite TV show or movie? Of course. I said, you ever watch it twice? Of course. So suddenly, you can't learn the same piece of Gemara? I'm sure this one has a lot more you'll appreciate the second time than that. So either way, quickly. These two guys are collecting money on the steps of the Vatican. And one's got a long beard, and one is a priest. Everybody that comes, they come up, they give the rabbi a nasty look, and they give the priest some money. And there's a cardinal, he works in the Vatican. And every day he sees the rabbi just sitting there, he's got nothing. And after a few weeks he says, you know, Rabbi, there's three rules in business, location, location, location. So the rabbi looks at the priest, his tzedakah box is overflowing with money. He looks at the cardinal and he says to the priest, Mashallah, he's going to teach us how to do business. Are we more clever? Are we more clever? What does it mean we're the chosen people? So you look at when we became the chosen people. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Paro, Bini Bechori Yisrael. The Jews are my chosen people. The Jews are my firstborn. And all Mepharshim say firstborn. We weren't the firstborn. What does it mean firstborn? So if anybody's a Bechor, anybody has a Bechor and more than one kid, I know I tell this to my son, you have to set an example. Look what you do, you have to set an example. What you do, all the other kids are going to follow. You go around acting this way, they're going to talk that way. You don't, they will. They see how you act and they're going to act the same. Hashem says, the Jews are my Bechor. Bechor doesn't literally mean firstborn always. Throughout the Torah, we see that the Bechor is usually not the main one. You have Cain and Hevel. Cain's older, Hevel is supposed to be the main one. Yishmael and Yitzchak. Yishmael's older, Yitzchak's the main one. You have Yaakov and Esav, Yosef and the brothers, find Menashe, and Moshe and Aaron, all those shkulim. Right, over and over, the first one. I'm not saying that just because I'm the second one. We have a responsibility. We have a role to be a light unto the nations. It's hard work. It's hard work. I was driving a couple of years ago, and it was a tight spot. I was on Brent Street. And I started going in, I realized it's very tight. Someone called me up, and he said, Rabbi, how could you could have fit? I'm like trying to figure out if he's watching me or stalking me. And he said, you know, that's why my father calls it a bumper for a reason. Yeah, that's why it's called a bumper. And I said to him, you're right. But I'm wearing a kippah. You're right. You could have fit in. Could have bumped and made it. But I don't know whose cars these are. There's people watching, Jews and non-Jews. It's hard work. Hashem says, I want to bring a redemption. I want there to be a Mashiach. I want there to be freedom. But what are you going to do with your freedom? How do you act? Do you prepare yourself beforehand? Did you get ready? Did you think, what am I going to do with all that time? What are my kids going to do? What's my wife going to do when Mashiach comes? And now how did I prepare myself? It's going to be hard work. It's with Maror. There needs to be Yitziyat Mitzrayim. There needs to be, our mentality has to change. And it can't just be suddenly Mashiach is going to come. We need to earn it. We need to work for it. We need to do something for it. Hashem says, Seder night's the night. As Reb Dessler says, every single Yom Tov has that koach. It's not just that there's a story that happened thousands of years ago. Nisan has the power of redemption. He's talking about Avraham Avinu keeping the whole Torah right before I spoke. We know Avraham Avinu, he serves the angels matzot. He tells Sarah, Dushi Vasu Ugot, make some cakes. And the rabbis tell us no, because when the Torah calls matzot, it calls them Ugot matzot. It says straight out by Lot, Vayafe matzot, it makes matzah. What's Abraham Avinu doing serving matzah 400 years before they leave Egypt? He saw there's a koach of redemption. Now's the time to eat matzah. This is the time of freedom. Abraham Avinu was preparing 400 years before. Because he saw that's the koach. Now's the time to prepare ourselves. Now's the time to get ready. To say, Mashiach's coming, I want to project where I'm going to go. While I'm still a slave here, in Galut, I need to eat the matzah and understand it comes with maror, it comes with hard work. But I need to project where I'm going. What I'm doing with my time. Am I doing a good job of being the chosen people, being a light unto a nation, being the person who's going to make sure to be that role model? Hashem didn't say, when Mashiach comes, you'll do this. When there's a redemption, then you'll do this. He says, prepare beforehand. Make sure you work. Take the Korban Pesach. Be honest. Tell the truth. Take the Korban Pesach. Understand it's not easy. It's going to take hard work. You have to go against your nature. And that's why we start with Achor. We read this past Shabbat. Achodesh Azeh Lachem. It's hard work. You have to do it. It's a new beginning. It doesn't matter what you did beforehand. But as we get ready for Pesach, I had a few stories, but I've run out of time. Be'ezat Hashem, we'll make sure. We'll make sure. I hate going over. Whenever I'm told to speak, I speak to a certain time. I try as much as possible not to go over. Yeah? We have to make sure that we understand who we are, where we're going, what we're doing. So I'll just quickly. Rabbi Pesach Kron, he was in South Africa. They have this big thing called the Sinai Indaba. And Daba is the South African word. And they have thousands, maybe even tens of thousands of Jews, all different levels, come together. And they bring in the top speakers, entertainers from all over the world. Non-stop shiurim. Unbelievable. If they get something like that going on over here. And they had Rabbi Beryl Wine. And Rabbi Pesach Kron was interviewing him. He's been in Rabbanus for 50 years and he interviews him and he waits to the end and he says, nobody's written as many books, works so hard, historian, shiurim, Rosh Hashiva. What drives you? What drives you? And he said, I'll never forget when I was in Chicago as a kid. I think he was 10 or 11 years old. The chief rabbi of Israel, he came in and he spoke. It was Rav Herzog. And he said, he took out a whole bunch of papers and he said, this is a list with 10,000 names. 10,000 children that during the Holocaust were given in to the different monasteries and churches. And I had a meeting with the Pope. And I said, we have the names, we need back our children. And the Pope said, I'm really sorry, once they're baptized, we can't do it. The chief rabbi looks at the people and says, I tried, I did everything, they didn't want to give them back. We lost these 10,000 neshamot. But if you work hard, you can bring back hundreds of thousands, millions of neshamot. Rabbi Wein said, that's what drives me. I always see him, I hear him saying, I couldn't get these kids back, but you can. We want to bring a Mashiach. We want to bring back the millions of neshamot to be able to see grandparents, great-grandparents, all the tzaddikim, the gedolim. We have to understand what we need to do. We need to project where we're going, spend the time, prepare properly, understand it takes hard work, and Be'ezat Hashem, and that's the chut. We'll be able to have the final gula of Mashiach. Amen.